As we remain standing, let's bow our heads to pray. Lord, we're lost in wonder and in love for you and all that you've done. We pray you'll be with us and speak to us now by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please do be seated. As you could probably hear, I'm singing too loud, and having just done a service at All Saints, where I've talked an awful lot, it might be a very short sermon at this rate. Could I have the first picture up, Stephen, please? Yes. Who is Jesus? Why did he die? We start the new series, the Alpha Series Talks, the Alpha Bite Series, if you want to call it that, that we're doing in conjunction with the home groups, just so we get a flavour in church of what the Alpha Course is all about. Look at some of the major tenets of our faith. Be encouraged in them so we may eventually maybe be able to invite, feel confident to invite somebody to an Alpha Course. As John said a few moments ago, why he died has been covered in the scripture readings and in the confession. Forgiveness of sins, providing a way back to God for those who turn to him. On the screen you can see some of the oldest known images, well, if you call them images, of our Jesus. Images done by human hand and human imagination, going right back to the 3rd century. I wonder if they're helpful to you as you think of who is Jesus. Maybe some of those might strike a chord with you, or maybe some of them won't. You'll all recognise Robert Powell, top right-hand corner. You might have come across some of those before. So who is Jesus? And who is Jesus to you as you sit there listening to my squeaky voice this morning? An old Russian communist dictionary described Jesus as a mythical figure who never existed, and yet today no serious historian would agree with that at all. There's such a lot of evidence for Jesus' existence. The first century Jewish historian Josephus said these words, and I'm going to read them, and you can follow them with me if you can see it on the screen. He wrote, "About this time there lived Jesus, a wise man, if indeed one ought to call him a man. For he was one who performed surprising deeds and was a teacher of such people as accepted the truth gladly. He won over many Jews and many of the Greeks. He was the Messiah. And when upon the accusation of the principal men among us, Pilate had him condemned to a cross, those who had first come to love him did not cease. He appeared to them, spending a third day restored to life, for the prophets of God had foretold these things, and 1,000 other marvels about him. And the tribe of the Christians, so called after him, has still to this day not disappeared." And still to this day, it has not disappeared. I'm glad you're with me here in church. Some fantastic words written by that first century historian. It's those pictures earlier from the 3rd century, but Josephus is speaking from around the time of Jesus as a historian, not necessarily a believer. You see, the evidence in the New Testament is also very strong. A lot of what I'm going to say, some of it comes out on the Alpha DVDs, which those of you in home groups will see this week or have seen already last week or will see in the future. The science of textual criticism, that is, the more texts that we have, the less doubt there is about the original, strengthens their accuracy and truth. And also compared to the number of other ancient texts, of other ancient documents, the thousands of New Testament manuscripts that we have and how early they were written means that no classical scholar would doubt the accuracy of those New Testament words. That's about as difficult as I'm going to get, all right? So if you've got that, you'll see it on the DVD and you'll hear it again. I've put Nicky Gumbel in a nutshell there. Basically, we have so much material compared to other documents. How can it not be true? So we have evidence within and without the New Testament that Jesus existed. But who is he? I trust, looking round, that we all know who he is. But if you don't, maybe these next few words will make you think. Many say today that he was only human, albeit a great religious teacher. Billy Connolly, who's still alive, once said, "I can't believe in Christianity, but I think Jesus was a wonderful man." It's so sad that you can't go that step further, isn't it? So what evidence is there to suggest that Jesus was, in fact, not just a wonderful man or even a great moral teacher, but the unique Son of God who we worship today? What did he say about himself? Well, I believe Jesus was conscious of being a man whose identity was God. And so much of his teaching focused on himself. And he told people that if they wanted a relationship with Almighty God, they should come to him. You see, Jesus knew people were hungry for love and security, and folks, nothing changes, does it? And he described himself as the bread of life. He knew people were directionless, walking in darkness and despair. Folks, nothing changes, does it? And he called himself the light of the world. Jesus knew death was a massive barrier, and it still is for people today. And he called himself the resurrection and the life. He was aware of the countless burdens people carried, don't we today? And he told people to come to himself, and he would give them rest. Jesus knew people didn't know how to run their lives. Again, nothing changes, does it? And he told them who to follow. He said, "Follow me." He said to receive him was to receive God. Matthew 10:40, if this is being recorded. To welcome him was to welcome God. Mark 9:37. And to have seen him, wow, was to have seen God. John 14:9. You know, I never thought I'd stand up in any church and quote Ronald Reagan, but here we go. He once said this, bless him, "This uneducated, property-less young man who left no written word has for 2,000 years had a greater effect on the world than all the rulers, kings, emperors, all the conquerors, generals and admirals, all the scholars, scientists and philosophers who have ever lived. All of them put together. How do we explain that unless he really was who he said he was?" Good old Ronald Reagan. Wonderful. I trust he's with his Lord in glory, because I think he knew who Jesus was. Jesus also made direct claims to be God. We can think, don't we, that famous example of Easter Day, or the week after Easter, when Thomas exclaimed at one of Jesus' resurrection appearances, "My Lord and my God." Now, Jesus didn't turn around and say, "Don't be so ridiculous." He took that worship because he was who exactly John claimed him to be. And as we examine who Jesus is, and all the evidence and the direct and the indirect claims, there are only three logical possibilities. The claims were untrue. Either Jesus knew they were untrue, in which case he was an evil imposter, or he did not know, in which case he was deluded, indeed even mad. Or thirdly, is that the claims were 100% true. You'll probably guess after 12 years standing up here that I like C.S. Lewis, and he said these words. If you can't read them, I'll read them to you. "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with the man who said he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him and kill him as the demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Now it seems to me obvious that he was neither a lunatic nor a fiend. And consequently, however strange or terrifying or unlikely it may seem, I have to accept the view that he was and is God. C.S. Lewis, another man I look forward to meeting to in glory, I trust. So regarding evidence, what must we look at? Well, yes, it works, thank you. Evidence. Let's just start very briefly, look at the evidence. Starting with his teaching. Widely acknowledged to be the greatest teaching to fall from any human lips. In 2,000 years, no one has improved on Jesus' moral teaching. And then we have his works. What a person to be around. I could labour this, but I'm not going to. Imagine going to a wedding or a picnic or even being in a storm with Jesus. Think of his healings, even on occasions bringing people back to life. Yet underpinning all his teaching and miracles was love. The love that led him to the agony of the cross for you and for me, for all mankind, to open up the way back to God for all who follow him, that sin, disease, evil and death closed off. Jesus now makes the way open. His teaching, his works, his character, which has impressed millions upon millions of people, even Billy Connolly, who wouldn't call themselves Christians. Jesus, the one we worship today, the songs we've sung, who exemplified total unselfishness, but never self-pity. Humility, but not weakness, notice. Joy, but never at anybody else's expense. Kindness, but not indulgence. A man who even his enemies could find no fault with. Think of Old Testament prophecy fulfillment, including where he'd be born and buried. Bit late for both, don't you think? And then we have his physical resurrection from the dead, the cornerstone of my faith, I trust yours as well. The evidence, I think, can be summed up in four headings. I'm just going to put that picture there. If you don't want to look at me, you can imagine Mary at the tomb. Four things, briefly. His absence from the tomb. Some say he didn't die, but if you've seen the Passion of the Christ film and shuddered with me when you've watched it, you'll have seen the brutal depiction of pre-death torture. Jesus didn't faint on the cross after that. He was physically weak. Plus, the soldiers had seen that he was already dead. And instead of breaking his legs, as they always did with criminals on crosses, they speared his side to make sure. And what came out was evidence. Some have argued that the disciples stole the body and started a rumor of Jesus' resurrection. Come on, that frightened lot, starting something like that, plus then dying for a lie in the years that followed? No. Others suggest that the authorities removed Jesus' body. Well, if that's the case, why not produce it to squash all the rumors that were flying around everywhere of the resurrection? But as you've heard me said, one of the great evidences in the Gospels is the folded grave clothes visible on the side. That does it for me. Jesus left them there folded for Peter and John to see, as workmen used to do to announce work finished. So firstly, his absence from the tomb. Secondly, there's also Jesus' appearances to his friends. Hallucinations, some may say. Well, as far as I know, hundreds of people don't have the same hallucinations. Burly fishermen, tax collectors and skeptics like Thomas, they don't hallucinate, on the whole. And then you have the immediate effect of this event and the growth of belief and eventually the church of which we're a part. As one writer says, the church began from a few people, and I quote, swept across the whole known world in the next 300 years. It is a perfectly amazing story of peaceful revolution that has no parallel in the history of the world. It came about because Christians were able to say to inquirers, Jesus didn't only die for you, he is alive. You can meet him and discover for yourself the reality we are talking about. And folks, they did. And they joined the church. And the church born from that first Easter grave spread everywhere and does today. Is your heart alive with belief and trust and hope in this risen Jesus? And then fourthly, Christian experience is the other evidence, as countless millions down the century from every tribe, every color, have experienced the risen Jesus. And I have to ask, as you sit there, have you? If not, ask him this morning. Don't leave it too late. The evidence that Jesus rose from the dead is extensive, as you'll hear on the DVD from Nicky Gumbel's mouth. I love this quote from a former Lord Chief Justice, notice, of England, Lord Chief Justice, Lord Darling. He said, "In its favour, as living truth, there exists such overwhelming evidence, factual and circumstantial, that no intelligent jury in the world would fail to bring in a verdict that the resurrection story is true." Top lawyer speaking. So as we begin to think about the Alpha series, starting today with who is Jesus and why did he die? We also begin this Who Cares, and in a few minutes' time I'll say a bit more about that, a missional activity we can all get involved with. What hope and light and life in Jesus we have to share if we know him in here, as we've seen over these last few minutes. I'll leave the final words to one of my heroes again, C.S. Lewis. The man who we are talking about was and is just what he said, or else a lunatic or something worse. Now, it seems to me obvious that he was neither lunatic or fiend, and consequently, however strange or terrifying or unlikely as it may seem, I have to accept the view that Jesus was and is God. God has landed on enemy-occupied world in human form. Do you accept that view today? Do you need to renew your acceptance of that view today? Well, do that as you receive bread and wine. Ask Jesus to bless you and make you a blessing to those you come into contact this coming week. It doesn't mean life is easy. Most of us could testify to that. But we have a life-giving hope that is with us in the person of Jesus, both throughout these lives, troubled lives as they are for many, and also into the life eternal that he promises. As we sit, let's just bow our heads to pray. A writer in 381 AD said this: "He began his ministry by being hungry, yet he was and is the bread of life. He ended his earthly ministry by being thirsty, yet he is the living water. Jesus was weary, yet he is our rest. Jesus was accused of having a demon, yet he cast out demons. Jesus wept, yet he wipes away our tears. Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, yet he redeemed us and the world. Jesus was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, yet he is the good shepherd. Jesus died, yet by his death he destroyed the power of death." Father God, as we begin our series looking at the major tenets of our faith and what we believe, as we think today of who your Son truly is, help us each one, Lord, to find Jesus for ourselves and to accept, even in our troubled lives, the fact that he loves us, that he brings us hope and walks with us whatever we face. May we not leave this place today without realizing he is our Savior. And in his name we pray. Amen.